Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hi again, everybody. I was going to say alongside Sterling Bennett, but Sterling Bennett is... Sterling, if you needed like a bowl of sugar, some cornflakes... What are we driving, like an hour and a half to the general store?
It's about 15 minutes away for sure. It's down the road, couple left, take a right, past the prison. It is a long
come
ways
on
away.
Is there a prison out there?
Oh, there's like three or four of them, yeah. They got to make sure everyone that's in witness protection is safe from all the criminals out here.
It's like one of those where you hear about, like, there'll be a jailbreak and prisoners will escape. And, like, you're going to be the first guy they hit up looking for, you know, till the heat simmers down. Like, they're going to come knocking on your door looking to hide out for 48 hours until somebody gets that car for them. I mean, you got to be that's serious living where you're at right now, right next to the prison, huh?
Oh, I mean, not like directly next to us, not like it's our neighbor, but it's pretty noticeable. It's not too far away, but, you know. You got to do what you got to do. You got to stay safe out here, right? You know, you got to do whatever Nahegan wants. He wants to send me to Hesperia, California, and witness protection. Whatever he says, I'll do.
Well, no matter where you are, you certainly, of course, are aware of what's going on with the San Francisco 49ers as much as anybody in the market. You're keeping up on this football team, and you always have. So let's just go back to last night. Of course, the loss by six to that of the Detroit Lions in a game in which Brock Purdy and the offense played well for a half, and then suddenly the second half happened. But I want to start there with Purdy, and we'll get into the contract. We'll talk about the injury really quick, by the way, just to update people with the injury. The latest, apparently the MRI, it's good news. So there's a contusion to the elbow. There's nerve inflammation, but it's not the UCL. And from what I can gather and from what I'm reading in the initial reports, it seems to be on the positive side in terms of his recovery. He is not expected to play in the finale against Arizona, but the MRI has spit out what a lot of people felt was the best case scenario. A lot of those that are close to the San Francisco 49ers, it's not the UCL, it's not the serious nerve damage. So with a good offseason, he should be as good as new come next year. Is that an accurate sort of way of looking at this?
Yeah, it's not going to be a long-term injury. He's not going to come into training camp wondering, is he quarterback one, is he quarterback two, is he going to be healthy? But I do think there is a major concern with this. He's a quarterback that had a shoulder injury earlier this year that cost him a game. He already tore his UCL, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, and he already again has another arm injury. Like, Purdy isn't a quarterback that is built to last, per se. Now, he's a durable guy, but this is three injuries to his throwing arm in consecutive years. Like, it's not a good thing for a quarterback that wants to get paid $65 million, and probably will get that this offseason, but... Like as a fan and watching the team, it's like, dude, do you really want to commit to a quarterback? And I really do like Purdy, but I think his health may be a question now, which it wasn't a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, but now it's like another arm injury. To me, that is concerning. Like, if you're going to invest in him, as they should, the health is, it kind of worries me now, Dan.
Well, it should. And by the way, we're not giving him $65 million. You and I have a lot to discuss in the next 4 hours.
Maybe I wouldn't.
If you're cutting that check, if you think that's what the 49ers are doing, we'll get into the contract. Well, that's a good place to start, is with the injuries, because I've heard this, that he shouldn't have played, or shouldn't have played in the second half because of the shoulder injury, because of what it is that you just laid out. Are you one of those that feel as though that he should have been bubble wrapped last night against Detroit?
No, because if broken-ankled Fred Warner's playing, the quarterback better be playing. Like, it's unfair to say, well, I'm not going to play in this game because I'm going to get paid and I want to save myself, but Fred has to play, or Nick Bosa has to play. Like, this team has been marred by injuries all year with people that have lost children and come back and played. You don't get to say, oh, my arm hurts. No, get back out there, play. And he played great for three quarters last night, but two picks, and all of a sudden the game's over with, and Jake Moody can't make a field goal or two. Like, I am of the belief that at least last night, next week maybe it's a different conversation, but last night was a game you had to play. You cannot let the Lions come into your place that already want to embarrass you and just give up. And they didn't. And Purdy has to play to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm surprised that this actually got traction, but there are more than one of the so-called experts out there that believe that he should not have played football last night. And that's a head-scratcher. It makes no sense. I mean, look at the Detroit Lions, for crying out loud.
Should we call them imbeciles like Steiny?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, because a lot of these people take themselves so seriously these days. Because right. If you've got a YouTube channel and a camera, boom, suddenly you're an expert. And maybe calling them experts is going a bit out of bounds. But a lot of there was a strong sort of underbelly, an undercurrent, if you will, of people that felt as though that he should not have been playing, which missed me with that. That just doesn't make sense on so many different levels. But I just I like Purdy. Purdy's a good quarterback, and if you don't think he's a good quarterback, then you're just hating on the guy. But playing great for three quarters, and again, you're not alone, and I'm quoting you, I didn't necessarily see that. Now, he had huge numbers, the 377 yards. I want to say that's a career high. His numbers after the first half were ridiculous.
He had four touchdowns last night.
To me, he had three.
I mean, technically.
Yeah. How many did he throw for?
He threw for three, but the little pop pass, I see you're not a fan of.
Yeah.
He ran for the other one, though.
He threw for two.
Sure.
But Brock, to me, that first half, and Purdy was good, that was more of an indictment on Kyle Shanahan was back last night.
And
that suddenly looked like Kyle Shanahan, because I'm telling you, man, just about every starting quarterback in the NFL could have made those passes. The majority of those passes. Ricky Pearsall was running free.
Yeah.
George Kittle on those shallow crosses didn't have anyone within 10 to 15 yards anywhere near him. Now, I don't know if that's an indictment on that Detroit Lion Poor's defense, but that was Kyle Shanahan recognizing that it's a blitz-happy Aaron Glenn defense, and I want to take full advantage of that. You know, those bunch formations and getting his guys free, that looked like the return of Kyle Shanahan, that innovative coach who sat on top of the mountain, and then there was everybody else. And we've seen glimpses of that this year, but it looked as though Kyle Shanahan was in rare form for the first half of that football game. Now, the second half I want to get into, but I put that on Shanahan, and if I stay away from this phrase, but that was a system quarterback last night. That was one of those, look, I'm going to scheme guys open. I just need you to put it on them. I didn't see a lot of sort of, wow, that was a good throw on the part of Purdy. He threw a dime to George Kittle. But you compare and contrast that to, say, Jared Goff. Jared Goff put it in some tight windows. Jared Goff had some touch on some of those wheel routes. Jared Goff was a much more accurate throw of the football last night, and much more impressive, I felt, even though the numbers maybe paled to that of Brock Purdy. But Brock Purdy, to me, was a product of exactly what it is that Kyle Shanahan is capable of doing, in a lot of what Kyle Shanahan has done, but we haven't seen as much of it this year. Your thoughts?
I think it's a little unfair to give Shanahan, he called a great game last night, at least for the first three quarters. That first drive was a perfect script by Kyle. There was reverses, there was pitches, there was Debo looking like he was back to his all-pro form last night. Pearsall was just incredible last night, looked like Brandon Ayuk gave this team last year. Like, it was like that's an Ayuk performance from Pearsall, who very similar to, but to say that Brock was a system quarterback when the entire tenure of Jared Goff may be a system quarterback. Ben Johnson, like, what he's done with the Lions is equally as similar to what they've done with Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Yet we are so, and I'm not even saying you're wrong in a sense, but the idea that Brock was a system quarterback last night, didn't make good throws, that dime to Pearsall to the left sideline, like, that's a major throw to avoid some pressure and find Pearsall again deep on the right sideline for 40 yards downfield. Like, those throws
matter. But the 40-yard pass, was there someone within 10 yards of him?
Yes, yes. Like, we're talking about, like, sideline to sideline throws. Like, we're talking about throws that maybe a lot of quarterbacks can make, and I'm not saying it to detract from Brock, but we're talking about a quarterback that, you know, hasn't had a great year, but in this game against the Lions, the offense looks good, guys are getting open, which we can't fault Brock for his head coach doing his job. And so, like, I wouldn't say Brock was, you know, perfect, but for three quarters, he didn't have an incompletion for two quarters, or like a quarter and a half. That isn't all the head coach. That isn't all the play caller. That's Brock making the right reads and the right throws and evading pressure and finding guys open. And there was throws to Kittle over the middle. That I know Brock's two picks were over the middle last night, but there were still throws to Kittle over linebackers, over defenders. Even after the first interception,
he throws
a pass to the right sideline over the defensive back to Pearsall, and it's like that's an elite level throw from a quarterback that really isn't built like an elite level quarterback should be. So I would push back on the narrative, or at least the idea that Brock was a system quarterback last night, because when I think of that label, I think of, oh, Kirk Cousins, oh, Tua Tagovailoa, oh, Trevor Lawrence, when he's great on his good days, which are few and far between now. But I think in a bad year, Brock looked really good last night and at least gave me hope prior to the injury. Like, okay, this guy deserves to get paid, you know, top of the line money for the last three quarters of play. Then boom, two picks, and you're like, never mind.
Yeah, I guess, first of all, you're right with Jared Goff. I'm just talking exclusively last night. Last night, Jared Goff made the tougher throws, in my estimation. Now, yeah, you're
against
right.
The worst defense, mind you.
The 49ers?
Yeah, they're way worse than the Lions defense are, or is.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
The defensive line
couldn't get any pressure last night. They had 11 pressures last night. They didn't get to Goff at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're both putrid. I think both defenses are so bad right now, but you might be right. But I think that, and I'm not, yeah, listen, Brock Purdy made some nice throws last night. And there's nothing wrong with, not his fault, the guys are running free, right? You still got to hit him in stride, and Purdy did his job. I'm just saying the tougher throws last night that I saw, and I'm not the quarterback whisperer here, is it was Jared Goff who just really was just dropping it in tighter windows and just had touch. I've never seen him play with this level of confidence. And yes, he has been a system quarterback under Johnson. There's no doubt about that. But I think Purdy, yeah, he had huge numbers, but I'm telling you, a lot of those throws were just, I don't know what it is that Detroit was thinking.
You think it's empty calorie box score stats? It's empty calories.
Some of it. So somewhere in between, you know, what it is that Shanahan did and the good throws lies the truth. So I just don't want us to lean exclusively on the numbers, the 377 yards and the passer ratings. It was a good performance, but I'm just saying, I think a lot of that spoke volumes about Kyle Shanahan and sort of what it is that he was able to do schematically last night was significant for that of the San Francisco 49ers, because he sort of lost it in that second half, which I really want to get into.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that was so well-balanced in that first half, thanks due in large part again to Shanahan, because part of the reason why Brock Purdy had so much success, and anybody will tell you this is football 101, right? It's that the 49ers were able to run the football. And suddenly you're going play action, and the linebackers are biting on that read, and their first step, step and a half, is towards the line of scrimmage. Kittle sneaking behind. There's Pierce. All the field's wide open. And that's when Kyle Shanahan and any offensive coordinator, that's where they want you, where you're in a guessing game, and your head's on a swivel. And that's exactly what Shanahan was able to do in that first half. Detroit had no chance. The only chance that Detroit had was through interceptions of winning that football game, because every time the Niners had it, they were going to score. And sure enough, Purdy was able to provide that. But I do want to talk about how Kyle Shanahan got away from that balance inexplicably, or maybe you can lend some sort of insight as to why he got away from running the football and that balance, and then just exclusively became a team that's going to throw the football. We're going to hear from a man, Sterling Bennett, who's going to provide the answers. We're talking about the 49ers and their latest loss. If you want to jump into the conversation, you know the drill. 888-957-9570. What do you do with Purdy? You going to sign him? What do you think of the injury? What do we do with this team going forward? Sterling Bennett, Dan DeVone, back with more on 95.7 The Game after this.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We are streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/95.7TheGame and youtube.com/95.7TheGame to watch us live. But if anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube, and make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dan DeVone alongside Sterling Bennett. And Sterling, I tease us. Well, first of all, let's get to the text line for 1 second. I saw something here jumped out at me. Oh, the 707. Come on, you guys. Think about it. All quarterbacks belong to some kind of a system. They're just different per coach. That's JP in Berkeley, who's a regular. What's up, JP? Happy New Year.
He's not wrong.
Well,
he's not wrong.
Well, no, but wouldn't you agree that everybody has a system? But
sure.
Kyle Shanahan's system is sort of, wouldn't you say, head and shoulders above the likes of the majority of, I mean, Kevin O'Connell's system is also very good. There are systems, yes, everybody implements one, but there are some systems that are much better than others. And typically for Kyle Shanahan, as he has proven, because he has the track record, that if you listen, if you follow my system, there's two things that are going to happen to you as a quarterback. You're going to win some games, and you're going to get paid. So while everybody has a system, I think we can differentiate Kyle Shanahan from most.
I agree. That said, when you look at the quarterbacks that have played in Kyle Shanahan's system, the good ones at least, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, they were going to get paid no matter what, whether it was pre-Shanahan, post-Shanahan. Like they got paid after Shanahan was there or gone, or even before he got there. And that isn't to knock Kyle Shanahan. That is to say that, yes, I agree with you. Shanahan's system is better, and it is. There's a reason why it's copied by so many teams in the NFL, but maybe this goes into why last night has been or was weird and why they stopped running the football. He's a much better run game coordinator than pass game coordinator. There's a reason why you see Kirk Cousins' numbers with Minnesota take off under Kevin O'Connell. He's a heck of a lot better pass game coordinator than Kyle Shanahan is, which is why last night when they stopped running the football, the offense kind of slows down, you start to have questions, and maybe it leads into what you were talking about before the break of like, why did they get away from what was working with the motions and running the football, and then the offense kind of fell back to what it was in previous weeks of drop back, drop 7 steps, 5 steps, and say Purdy slinging around, which we've seen at times hasn't been able to kind of carry the offense most of the year.
So, at halftime, the 49ers are up 21-13.
Yes.
The Lions get the ball to start the second half. They stick it into the end zone, get the two-point conversion. We're tied at 21. The 49ers proceed to, in the second half, they ran it one time. They threw the football 16 of 17 times. 16 of 17 times. And I guess the question just is sort of obvious, at least to me, and should be to everyone, is why? Why? You're not playing catch-up. You're clearly, it worked in that first half, as I mentioned. You could, and they illustrated this on Monday Night Football. And there was Troy Aikman diagramming, look at the linebackers are cheating because they have no idea where the football is. They're guessing run. And the play action was working. And if you're biting on Kyle Shanahan's play action, it's going to be a long night because he's going to, rest assured, he's going to get receivers behind you. And he's just going to carve you up. And that's exactly what he did, whether it was Pearsall, whether it was Kittle, whether it was Jennings. I mean, that was 49er football in that first half. And it was that remarkable balance. And then all of a sudden, it's like, no, we're going to throw the football 16 out of 17 times. I'm the last guy in the room to go after Kyle Shanahan. I just need some level of explanation here.
Well, you're asking the question we have all been asking since that Super Bowl in Miami against Kansas City the first time. Why, when you're leading, why when you're ahead?
Well, let me take you back to when he was an offensive coordinator with Atlanta.
Sure. Like,
throwing the football.
Like, last night wasn't an outlier. It was the common game for Kyle Shanahan. Why do you, with a lead, or why do you in a tie game, why do you, with 30 minutes to play and three timeouts, say, I'm going to pass the football 16 to 17 times, which I'm sure there's a game within the game conversation to be had there. Oh, they're setting things up in the first half, and it's there in the second half. And let's not forget, this team did score 34 points last night. Had it not been for two missed field goals and a missed PAT, would have at least been in position to have 41, which would have gotten them the win when the game was over with. That said, I have no idea. Like, nobody knows as to why Kyle Shanahan would stop running the football. Now, maybe go to the box score in this case and say Grendo had only 34 rushing yards last night, that he was a much better receiver than runner against the Lions in prime time. Debo had 3 carries for 16 yards. It wasn't like the run was successful. It's just, you can't stop doing it when it's setting up the rest of your offense, which has happened way too many times under Shanahan.
And think about it. When the Detroit line, when you became one-dimensional and started throwing the football, now suddenly as a defender, I can read the quarterback. Like, I'm not, my cues, I don't have to worry about the run. I don't have to worry just about play action. And that's exactly how he got picked off. Kirby Joseph just sat back there and Kirby Joseph just sat back and played center field. He's like, I'm not biting on anything. I'm going to read Brock Purdy. And sure enough, Brock Purdy let one sail the first time. But Kirby Joseph was just, you know, I'm reading pass because that's all it is that you're doing. The diversity, I mean, Kyle Shanahan purposely shot himself in the foot. And again, I'm just curious because Kyle Shanahan is brilliant. I'm sure he has some sort of reasoning behind all of this that could quell this so-called take of mine of all of ours. But it is a bit of a head scratch as to why he would do that when the offense was so effective in the first two quarters. You're right. There's history here, and Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere. So he got his vote of confidence last night from the owner, made their appearance. Nor should he. But it is peculiar that Kyle Shanahan got away from what it is that he did in that first half.
That's who he is. That's who he has been. That's whether it's Super Bowls or NFC Championship games or whatever it may be in big games. And look, the Niners winning last night doesn't mean anything. Or losing last night means nothing, right? Like, you win, you lose, whatever. Whether you're 7-9 or you're 7-8 or you're 6-10, it doesn't matter. You're not going to the playoffs. You're already in last place. You're essentially playing for pride. And last night was a play for pride. So to the players, it meant something. But go out there and at least be competitive. Go out there and give the Lions a fight. Go out there and you can't spoil their season. Like, they are already locked in for the playoff spot. They're already locked in to play the Vikings in Week 18 for the NFC North and maybe the number one seed. Like, they are locked in to their fate, at least to a certain degree, where San Francisco, their season's over with. They're like, hey, we can't wait to go 2025. Calendar turns over. We're going to get healthy, hopefully, and figure things out in the offseason and next year. But even in a game like that, where there isn't any pressure, you should feel loose. You should call anything at any time. Still, he tightens up. Still, there is this with a four-string left tackle and a third-string left guard. I'm going to let my quarterback drop back 16 to 17 times and sling that ball around. It doesn't make sense. It has never made sense. Now, in previous games, you add in Christian McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell in his rookie season, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson. Like, this is a constant thing from a head coach and a play caller that There's a reason why last night Jed York had to come out and say they're going to be here next year. Because a lot of people, whether right or wrong, I think they're wrong, they feel like this guy cannot get it done. And whether it is a quarterback change or head coaching change, you watched John Lynch last night, Dan, in that booth, yelling and screaming like he was in agony watching his team give another game away. You can tell there is this pressure that we got to figure this thing out. Because if we don't, you know, it's going to be my head or Kyle's head. Or you're going to connect yourself and you're going to, you know, glue yourself to Brock Purdy. If he fails, so does that entire regime out there in Santa Clara.
Well, listen, there may have been a vote of confidence for Lynch and Shanahan. But if I'm Sorensen and that phone rings in the middle of the night, I might be wetting myself. And the same holds true for a lot of those guys. Schneider, the special teams coach. What are your thoughts on Sorensen and the game he had? And if you want to talk about the year he had, feel free.
The year's tough because he was their third choice to be defensive coordinator. He's learning on the fly. He's had no experience doing the job before. It's kind of like, here, Nick, figure this out. We'll even give you an assistant to help you coach the defensive backs. So as a whole, I don't look at it as a failed year. It's kind of a lost year for the team as a whole. But for Sorensen himself, you know, at least for last night, this team hasn't had more than three takeaways since week number 8. Like, you have to get the ball back for your offense, and they can't. And there's a variety of reasons as to why that happens. Stafford threw about 4 picks they dropped in that game in the rain a couple weeks ago. Too many miscommunications on 3rd and 4th down this year. And, you know, I hate to say this, but you look over there in Green Bay, Robert Saleh, his contract is done there after this year. You want to bring Bobby Saleh back to the Bay? A lot of people want to. You want to go get Jeff Ulbrich? A lot of people want to do that too. So I don't think Nick will get fired, but I can guarantee you there will be internal conversations about, hey, we can get rid of Jake Moody and Brian Schneider and Nick Sorensen, and we can bring in this almost all-star cast of people and coaches and players to fix this thing and get us back on track next year. And I'm sure because they feel that pressure, it's going to be on the table.
Yeah, and conversely, when I look at Dan Campbell, I wonder, and I'm a Dan Campbell guy. He's won me over.
Oh, yeah.
He's
bite
a lunatic.
Kneecaps.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Like 35 shots of espresso in the morning.
But he has a definitive personality, and there's no passive-aggressive crap with him. He may not come, you know, he may not convert on 4th down, and he may onside kick and make no sense, but he is who he is. And at the end of the day, I think you can appreciate that. I mean, in any walk of life. I mean, there's so many, especially in California, sorry for the overall indictment of the entire state, but there's so many people walking around just winking and smiling, let's do lunch, and they're so full of crap, that it's it's refreshing to see anybody in any facet, whether it's a professional football coach or what have you, just saying, this is who the hell I am, all right?
Exactly.
And he's about as authentic as you're going to get in the NFL right now. But sometimes I wonder, if you take Aaron Glenn away from him, who is the defensive coordinator and a good one, even though he doesn't have much to work with. And even Aaron Glenn was just coming with these exotic blitz packages. He was still bringing it, even though getting carved up. And eventually Branch got to Purdy, and that's how he got hurt. Yeah. And, you know, the offense, obviously, Johnson, it doesn't get any better than him. I'm just wondering what exactly is the role of Dan Campbell. I know I'm being a little bit facetious here, but he's very reliant on his O coordinator and his defensive coordinator just to sort of put into focus how significant those positions are.
Wade, you have to look at it like he's not calling plays on either side of the football. He's saying, if I can have an amazing defensive coordinator, which I don't think Aaron Glenn is, but he's still a good one, and I can have the best offensive coordinator in football, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to go for it on 4th down. We're going to call crazy blitzes. We're going to do onside kicks. We're going to do fake kicks. We're going to do everything we can to find an advantage somewhere. And I'm going to rely on my coordinators to allow me to do things like that. Conversely, with Nick Sorensen, you know, I think the reason why with Nick Sorensen, like when he talks, you kind of don't want to listen because you're like, this is just nothing's there. And it's no knock on him. It's just, we know that if they fire Nick Sorensen this offseason, and maybe they should, that this is a second consecutive defensive coordinator fire after one season for Kyle Shanahan. And maybe it's the right choice, as Steve Wilks was last year, but Kyle has to wear back-to-back firings on his chin and go, my pride's been hurt twice in a row. Like, I think firing Steve Wilks was an emotional firing last year. Do I think it was deserved? Sure. Team lost, albeit the defense was great in the Super Bowl. Would firing Nick Sorensen be the exact same thing? Oh, it didn't work out. My fault. Like, would Kyle actually do that? Admit his faults back-to-back seasons like this?
Let's open up the phone lines for the first time this afternoon at 888-957-9570. Getting a little backed up. Let's start things out in San Rafael. Brett's standing by. What's on your mind, Brett? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I went last night to the game, first game all year. I must admit, I've been a long time Niners fan, but now I'm a Lions fan because of some quarterback from up here. But the thing I noticed in the past is like a Hufanga or a, Mustafa. You got to send a safety. You got to send a corner. You can't play the four down every time, and the opponents know it. At least fake like you're going to blitz. But you can't just line up 4-4-3-4 or 4-3-5, whatever you want to do. You got to send pressure. Pressure is the key to having a great defense. And the corners are going to get better next year. The young corners we have and the safeties. But you got to send one of those guys once in a while. And you got to do maybe a delayed blitz or something. But there's not enough pressure. There's not enough pressure on the quarterbacks right now. And I think you need it to beef up the defense.
Brett, before you go, did you get those tickets at the start of the season, during the off season, thinking that this Detroit 49er game would be a lot more than it was last night?
No, I just got them from a friend who knew I was a huge Lions fan. And like I said, I've been a Niners fan my whole life, but we're all Lions now. So I haven't got Lions socks on. I'll root for the Niners.
You're a Jared Goff guy, going back to Marin Catholic, Cal.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Brett, so much for the call. Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, last night's game was pretty good, too. I was very shocked as to how competitive San Francisco was. It was fun. It felt good to watch Niners be competitive again.
Yeah, but he makes a good point. And look, we going to sound totally like the TV radio or sports talk radio host sitting here, like the guy sitting up in the upper bowl, just not Brett, but, hey, why don't you do this? You should blitz more. But it is true, just from the naked eye.
The GMs and coaches.
you watch other teams, and especially Detroit. Like, they lose lose Hutchinson. So it's a team that's got no pressure coming off the edge. Like, that, think about this team at the beginning of the year. And Hutchinson was on target to be the defensive player of the year. And now they're not getting anything. So Aaron Glenn has got to get a little creative. And he's noted for this over the last month or so, where he's bringing guys up. And the branch disguise, like, nobody saw him coming off the edge. And he's either bringing safeties or he's bringing corners, but he knows that he's got to get pressure simply because they can't do it with their four down linemen. Well, the same could be true for that of the San Francisco 49ers. Yet you don't see any of those packages, or you don't see the threat of any of those guys creeping up near the line of scrimmage or even backing out of a potential blitz. And I think that's sort of on Sorensen, that he's not much of a risk taker in terms of bringing people.
I think it's a mixed bag, because I think what the caller said, Brett, was correct. This Niners team, especially on the trenches, on the defensive line, they got to figure things out. It is Nick Bosa and nobody else. I get it. Hargrave gets hurt, but Leonard Floyd has been just invisible at times. And the Lions have one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in football. Let's not forget that. Like, those guys are monsters. But my, like, biggest gripe last night wasn't blitzing a cornerback. My biggest gripe was, when the Lions are playing six offensive linemen, why are you also not going heavy? Like, you know what they're going to do. Like, they're going to run the football with Jahmyr Gibbs. And you saw it last night, Dan. With what the Lions were working with on the offensive line facing San Francisco's defense, running backs had all day to be patient and find and wait for the hole to open up. You saw last night that this Niners run defense can't stop anybody, and they haven't been to the majority of the season. Jahmyr Gibbs last night had the second most yards before contact 85 yards before even being touched last night. They're not getting pressure. They're not getting in the backfield. This is a defensive line that's being stood up and pushed around against the Packers this year, against the Bills this year, against the Lions this year. Any somewhat above average, or maybe in last night's case, formidable offense, they can't stand a chance. They have to find a way to beef up the trenches, whether it is bringing back Hargrave or finding more edge rushers through the draft, whatever it may be. And that's one reason as to why I'm not in, like, the jump in and fire Nick Sorensen. He hasn't had Greenlaw the entire year. He played 34 snaps all season long. Hufanga's played, then he got hurt, then he came back. Like, it's been on and off the field with him. Moody Ward's missed a lot of the year because of what happened to his child. And the defensive line's been a mess. He didn't make those choices. He didn't make those decisions. And in my head, I'm like, I wonder what could be here with a year of coaching, with having those reps, having the tape to adjust and make those changes come the offseason, but also getting the personnel you have to run this defense correctly. Like, you give other defensive coordinators this team, I'm really not sure if they can figure this thing out either, because the defensive line is so bad. They have UDFAs starting on the defensive line, which kudos to those guys for getting reps, but they shouldn't be there. This team is star-studded, and those stars cannot figure out a way to get behind and get to the quarterback outside of Nick Bosa. That can't happen.
Yeah, well, couldn't you say the same holds true for Detroit and losing Hutchinson, Anzalone, who could come back as early as next week, I hear, and all those DBs? Sure. Yet Aaron Glenn realizes that, listen, I'm deficient, so I got to get creative. I guess if that's just it, and far be it for me to go after a defensive coordinator, because I don't, you know, I'm not in the, I don't watch tape, I don't understand the complexities, but there just seems to be a lack of creativity. Whereas when I see someone like that of Aaron Glenn in Detroit, who also has lost as many, if not more, players, especially over the last month, yet there's Aaron Glenn still trying to make something out of nothing, and I don't necessarily see that to be true when it comes to Nick Sorensen. And as far as, you know, I understand what you're saying when Detroit goes heavy, but don't you think that the minute when, I love when Dan Skipper comes into the game, and that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, I can't stand it. That big he's talking lineman. Trash to guys. He does like three different things a game, and that's it. Out there talking trash to like guys one third of his size. Like, really? What's going on?
But don't you think when they go heavy, that if the Niners look to counter that, that's exactly what Ben Johnson wants to do. And then sure, he's going to have Jared Goff just audible out of that. And that they got, like, they're trying to sucker you in to go heavy. And they've got options out of that, is my point. And if they see you trying to combat that they're just going to go up top because you're now
deficient. That's an indictment on your cornerbacks and your safeties then. And if you don't have those guys that can cover, you got to get new guys. Like, you have to be able, and it's so hard to counter everything an offense throws at you, but if the Lions want to go heavy and the Niners counter with their heavy formation, whatever that may look like this year, you have to have guys that can cover. And maybe it's just me believing in Lenoir and Green and Mustafa and Hufanga. Like, I believe those guys can cover deep, or at least some of them can. I trust those guys in man coverage to stop Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown. Maybe not all the time, but some of the time. It's at least worth giving it a shot once. They didn't go heavy once last night. They didn't counter it once last night. Hence why you saw the Lions have the second most yards before contact in a game against San Francisco this year. 85 yards for free, essentially. Like, you got to do something to fix that.
Lions come up winners last night over the San Francisco 49ers as the Niners will close out the season next week against Arizona. Just to stay with Detroit, maybe we can tease this and we'll get back. We're going to get to a break coming up here in a little bit. But when we think about Detroit and Dan Campbell, who oftentimes is, I mean, he's not controversial, but he's a good subject matter because people, sort of like that of Jimmy Johnson, you may not like him, you may love him, but you have an opinion. And when it comes to Campbell, at the beginning of this game, be honest here, Sterling, be honest now, because I'll come out there to, Hog Flats, Iowa, and find you. Were you one of those that felt as though that Dan Campbell was just being this Neanderthal and once again biting kneecaps and playing his starters when he didn't need to in a meaningless game against the 49ers?
No, I love it because it sends a message that, okay, like, we don't care if you're banged up, broken, or bruised. We're going to make sure you feel. that we are the Detroit Lions, and I love that. It's the same way how San Francisco played, with the chip on your shoulder of like, look, you're going to come into our place and try to embarrass us. We're going to try to not let that happen. And last night, San Francisco did that. Yeah, there was some blunders here or there, but I love when my coaches and my players have an edge to them. I love when my head coach says, I'll run through that tunnel with you, and I'll run through a wall with you. Come with me. I love that stuff. Sometimes I wish Shanahan was more like that. Like, rally me up. Be a Jim Harbaugh to a certain extent. I want to go to war with you through my television. And I love the idea of, I don't care if San Francisco is banged up or bruised. Now, if it was Week 18... different story. Week 17, I'm all in for it.
Yeah, maybe because I'm getting older, I'll take the Shanahan sort of cerebral, smart, pragmatic guy, although I love Dan Campbell, don't get me wrong. But I do want to continue the conversation about Dan Campbell and his coaching ways. A reminder, we are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We continue the conversation talking about the Niners. We're going to get into a little Dan Campbell talk as it sets up the first time ever. Two 14 regular season win teams will play for the number one seed in the NFC. That and much more. Sterling Bennett, Dan Avona, 95.7 The Game.